Are we wise in the kingdom or foolish? Are we wise in the kingdom or foolish? We're going to be reading Matthew 15. So if you want to turn there, you'll probably want to read through this with me. Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew 25. I said 15, didn't I? Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom was delayed. They all slumbered, they all slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." There's an idea that's pervasive in the world of the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Jesus just loves everyone. And he's so kind and considerate. And he would never do anything mean or difficult for you. Blah. This is Jesus. And he's making an illustration. Jesus is love, but he's truth. He is not less love and more truth, and he's not less truth and more love. He is truth and love. You can't have one without the other. God is who he is. And the reason he's saying what he's saying is because he loves. That's why he speaks truth. That's why he said this parable. He says, "Let me illustrate something for you." A parable is something that is used to explain a point, to show an idea, to illustrate something. And he says, "I want to illustrate an idea to you. I want to show you something." And he says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be like." First question you have to ask, what's the kingdom of heaven like? What is he saying? What is it like? He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like what?" 10 virgins. Okay, kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom? What's the kingdom? The kingdom is the realm of sovereignty. The kingdom of heaven, a kingdom is a realm of sovereignty, which means that they have the ultimate authority. Heaven has the ultimate authority. In the kingdom of heaven, heaven is the ultimate authority. The kingdom of God. God is the ultimate authority. Right? So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's where heaven has ultimate authority. And he says, it's like 10 virgins. The 10 virgins are like the kingdom. This is where God's realm of sovereignty is. Okay? And it says, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Remember, all 10 are the kingdom. All 10 are the kingdom. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And so they go out and they have a job. They've been given a job. They've been given an assignment, right? They have a responsibility. They're supposed to usher in the bridegroom into the wedding feast. That's their job. And so they're given this assignment. Somebody comes to him, says to him, all 10 of them, says, listen, you are going to be the ones responsible for ushering in the bridegroom into the wedding feast. Be ready. Be prepared. Be ready. And so 5 of them said, okay, we need to be ready. We don't know when he's coming. It could be daytime. It could be nighttime. So let's make sure that we've got everything that we need. Let's be prepared. And the other 5 said, okay, that's great. We're excited. Thanks for having us do this. And then they just go out. Another interesting thing. Remember, the virgins are being compared to the kingdom of heaven. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered. They all slumbered. And they slept. They lazed around. They hung out. And they fell asleep because they were tired. You know, you're sitting there and you're waiting. You know, when you're sitting there and you don't have anything to do but wait, you know, sometimes you just fall asleep. It happens. They weren't being wrong. They weren't in error. There's no rebuke for this. They were just in the waiting. They slumbered. And then the cry comes up. The bridegroom. They jump up. And all of a sudden they realize, oh, 5 of them go, we're not ready. We're running out. And they say, give us what you've got. And they're like, we can't give you what we got. We need to use what we got. Go get some. Go get some of your own. And so they run and go get it. And in the process of them trying to get themselves ready to do what they've been called to do, they lost the opportunity to enter into the wedding feast. Now, I want to point out, it really doesn't say salvation. Doesn't necessarily say it's talking about salvation here. It's not the illustration. It's not the point. The point isn't whether one's saved or not saved. It's a point that they missed the responsibility that they've been given to do because they didn't take it seriously. They didn't consider the long game. They didn't consider, what am I going to need to do to be ready for this in order to do my job? And so the other ones went and got prepared and they came back. And they went, oh, let us in. And he said, sorry, you've missed out. I don't know if this is the best illustration, but I'm going to use it. So let's just say that there's a word or a prophecy that's been given, right? And people are like, oh, yeah, that's God. That's God. That there's going to be a revival that starts in the River Valley, that's going to start the headwaters of the River Valley. Maybe it says something like that, and it's going to travel down the River Valley, and there's going to be salvations, and there's going to be all these miraculous things happening, and there's going to be restoration, and people are going to return to biblical living. Whole communities are going to get saved. Maybe there's a word like that or something that comes along. And it's like God spoke, and it's what God wants to do. And there's churches in the area. They're like, yeah, no, absolutely, that's God. We want to be part of that. God, we're in. And so we're waiting for it to come to pass, and it's not happening, and you're waiting. And you're waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And all of a sudden, the bridegroom comes. And God says, now. What? He's here. It's time to move. It's time to go. It's time to be involved in what God wants to do. Wait, wait. I lost the oil. I'm not ready. I don't have the room. I don't have the stuff. Here, you help us. Dude. I can't help you. I got enough on my own plate. You need to go get ready. You need to go do what you need to do. You need to make the preparations. You know, half of my chairs are breaking, you know, and the furnace is on the fritz. How am I going to be able to take care of the people in the winter? Yeah, I got one. Just don't tell the insurance people. But they're not prepared. It's even more in this context, their hearts. It's like, well, I don't know anything about that. I don't know how to lead people into the spiritual things. I don't understand what it means to be led by the Spirit. I don't understand what it means to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't understand. What is all this crazy stuff? What do you mean I got to cast out demons? What do you mean I got to heal the sick? How do I do that? How do I do it? Well, you need to go buy from those that know. You need to go learn. Okay, you go and you do a cram, session. Okay, Jesus, I'm here. He says, no, it's too late. You weren't ready. You weren't ready. And it says that they were cast out where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, Lord, oh, if I had just been ready. If I had just been ready, oh, I could have been involved in this. I could have helped see so many more people come into the kingdom and get healed and get delivered and get set free. If I had just been ready, Lord. The illustration is that in the kingdom, we can be foolish. Just because we're part of God's kingdom doesn't automatically mean that everything is perfect and we're going to do everything right. It means we have a choice to make. We have decisions to make. Are we going to let God lead us and guide us, or are we going to do our own thing? Are we just going to get excited about the prospects of something exciting coming our way, or are we going to dig in and start preparing for it? We have a word. We do. That God is bringing in 120 people. Are we going to be ready for 120 people? What are you going to do to be part of bringing them in? How are you going to be prepared to minister life and peace to them? How are you going to be involved? Are you going to set your life on a course to be in a position where you can help others that are coming out of a situation you used to be in? Or are you still going to be embittered by what you went through? Are you still going to have that let those demons have that hold on you and continually be dragging them around with you? We strive to be wise in the kingdom because wisdom prepares for the future. First Corinthians, I want to illustrate this, in that when we come into the kingdom, there is wise and there is foolish. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if you read on, it says that, you know, even if everything gets burned up, you'll still be saved. But the illustration is this, is we can have Christ and build a rickety shack that's ready to fall down and burn into vapor an instant. Or we can build something out of lasting stones and precious metals, things that are worth something and that will endure through generation after generation. And it's not just knowing Jesus. Salvation is just about knowing Jesus, but there is more to living in the kingdom than just being saved. It's like being alive is just being born. I mean, would you say that being alive is just being born? You're born, now you're alive. There's more to life than just being born. There's more to eternal life than just being saved. And what are we going to do with it? How are we going to use it? How are we going to utilize it? How are we going to glorify His name in this world and in our lives and in our communities and around the people that we come in contact with? What are we going to do with it? Matthew 7:21 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Just because people say something doesn't mean that it's in their heart. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, is it in your heart? Is it that driving thing in your life that says, God, I want to do what you want to have done? But it's he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Is it not important then to know what the will of God is? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, I implore you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is reasonable. It's a reasonable thing to do. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't pick up the world's ways. Don't choose to begin to act and behave and think like the world. But be transformed. Become new. Stand out different than the world by adhering yourself to the teachings and the truths of God. Be transformed. Be renewed. Become something that you weren't by renewing your mind on the things of God. That we can prove, that we can know, that we can determine what is the good, what is the acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. Because we could end up like the five foolish virgins and miss out on what God wants to do. Because, well, you know, I've been there. There's times when I'm just like, I don't really want to do that. oh, yeah, I got to go pray again today. I got to study the word some more so I can put together a sermon so I can give it on Sunday. It's real. Because I'm flesh. I have flesh. And my flesh doesn't want to do. Sometimes it wants to go down to Dairy Queen and get a blizzard. Or more likely wants to go to Pogo Loco for lunch. But, you know, it's just like I have to constrain myself. I have to transform myself and say, no, you need to apply yourself so that you can become the best that God has called you to be. Because I don't want to just get by. I just want to squeak through. Okay, there's some days I just want to squeak through. But I strive to try to do as best as I can. And what is it that we're striving for? What is it to know God? Jesus said that the work of God is to believe in him and who he sent. That's Jesus. It's not just to say, I believe Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. But to believe in him and who he is and what he said he is. He said that I am the Son of God. He's the Anointed One. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not just one thing. He is who he is. And for us to believe on him is a continual process of knowing him, learning of him. It's like anybody who's been in a relationship for a long time knows that it's a continual process, that even at this point, they can still discover things that are new. Well, I never knew that about you. I didn't know that you had done that or that you liked this or you disliked that. Well, yeah. Wow, that's new. It's not that the relationship is new, but there's a new aspect. This is what it is to believe on him. There's always a new aspect in God that we haven't learned yet. We're just like little children when he's saying, that's hot. Hot? Yes, hot. Shh. Hot. You know, and then you grow more and you realize that God did it because not because he was trying to punish you, but he was trying to tell you, listen, don't touch those things. There's things not to do. When God says, you know what? Don't walk in unforgiveness. He's not saying, well, you should just let people go and live however they want. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you need to forgive because it's destructive. It's like that pan that's hot. It's going to burn you. It's going to damage you. But you don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. I don't know. Were you rejected by your own people and strung up, beaten, and had the flesh ripped off of you and hung on a cross and totally rejected by people who are supposed to accept you fully? I don't know. Did you go through that much? Then I think Jesus can probably top it. You know, so if you want to complain about it, and he laid on, he was on that cross and he looked at those that had crucified and he said, God, Father, forgive them. Because they don't understand what they're doing. That same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you. That same spirit that inspired him and led him and guided him and caused him to say, Father, forgive them, they don't understand, is the same spirit that's in you to realize and open your eyes to say, they're in danger because of what they're doing. But I can be free and I can let them go because they're behaving foolishly. They don't understand, and I'm not going to hold it against them because they're in enough trouble. that same spirit. You know, this is, I was praying about this message, and I'm, God, this is kind of a hard message. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm helping your people. I feel like I'm just kind of beating them a little bit. And he said, well, sometimes they need a nudge. You know, and depending on how stubborn they are, depends on how big the nudge needs to be. Because sometimes you can just gentle push, do a little guidance. But some, you got to put your whole body into it and you got to ram. Move! But God did give me this for you guys. John 14. You know, this is, it's a very sober thing. It's like, where I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. Yeah. And he says, well, I could lose out? Even now I could still lose out? Yeah, you can still lose out on things. If we don't take it seriously, if we choose just kind of skate by and do whatever we want. If you want the blessing, if you want the greater, then you have to apply yourself and you have to be willing to put in the extra effort to know him, to grow in him, and to be prepared. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is telling all this, and he's illustrating this wise and foolish virgins and illustrating that there are those that can miss out. But we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us. He's the one that's going to show us what we need and how we need to prepare. He can show you, how can you prepare for what God's wanting to do here and be part of what God's wanting to do in this community? And we know that God wants to share the love throughout this entire community. How can you be part of that? The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Well, how do I know what the Spirit's saying? Renew your word, renew your mind on the word. Renew your mind on the things that God has said and has done. Because then you will be able to discern what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Through seeing and knowing him, and the Spirit of God that's within you will lead you and guide you. How do I know? If you have been born again, the Spirit of God is in you. That same Spirit that led you to Christ can lead you into all truth. That same Spirit can lead you into all truth. How can I be sure? You have to trust. You have to have faith that he can do it. Well, but I've missed it so many times. I'm so dense. Do you believe in your denseness more than you believe in the goodness and the faithfulness of God? Because that's where your problem is. If you do believe that, you need to believe more in the goodness of God. There's times when I'm like, God, am I doing the right thing? There are times when I have so many things before me, I'm like, how am I going to know what the right thing to do is? And all of them are pretty good, except for maybe one or two. And those you can just kind of, no, those aren't right. But, you know, it's like all things that need to be done, things that need to be taken care of, things that have been given to me as, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? They're all godly things. How do I decide? How do I know what's the right thing to do? And I just have to say, God, I trust you to lead me and guide me in this. And then I trust him to help me make the right decision. And usually if I make the wrong one, I know pretty soon. I'm like, oh, that wasn't it. Because I trusted him. And then you just adjust. We can be wise or we can be foolish in the kingdom. Choose to be wise. Choose to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you instead of your own philosophy and ideas. Because the kingdom is about the realm where he is sovereign. That's what the kingdom of heaven is about, where he is sovereign. He is the one that has the say. He is the one who determines what happens and what doesn't happen. And if you want to be in that kingdom, then you have to submit. You have to submit to him. You have to submit to his word. You have to submit to his spirit. I know, as Americans, we really don't like that word. You say submit, we say, rebel! But it's a choice. It's a choice. And I encourage you to make the choice to submit yourself to God, submit yourself to his word, to be wise and not be foolish. Because there is stuff coming that is going to be amazing and awesome, and we don't want to miss out. We want to be in what God's wanting to do and not have it pass over us because of our own foolishness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us. Lord, we trust you. Help us to be wise in the kingdom, to be prepared for what it is that you want to have happen in this church and in this community and in this region, that we can be involved in whatever it is that you're wanting to do, that we can be wise servants ready to usher you in so that we can be part of the feast and part of seeing glory come to your name. We praise you and we exalt you in the name of Jesus. Amen.